ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
First, some news about urinary tract infections, awful things, and some people are unlucky enough to have recurring UTIs, and there's a study that's looked into whether an oral spray could be enough to ward them off.
Yes. So what we're talking about here is basically cystitis, and there'll be lots of people listening who've had it.
Subconsciously clenching their legs
whatever,
together.
Yeah, peeing razor blades is the common expression. Now, it's much more common in women than men, but what we're not good at is understanding why some people get recurrent cystitis. Is it because the surface in their bladder is more sticky to bacteria? Has an initial episode of cystitis caused damage, and therefore the next time you get bacteria in there, they're more likely to stick. Some people suspect that it may be possible your partner is reinfecting you. Mm-hmm. So this is not because your partner has been disloyal to you or cheating on you. It could mean that they've got something like chronic prostatitis and they actually are passing on their infection too. So men have been under-investigated as a cause of the woman's cystitis. I'll just put that out there. So what this is a sublingual spray. So it goes under the tongue and it contains a cocktail of bacteria, killed bacteria, not live bacteria, which is the range of bacteria that commonly cause cystitis.
So it's a vaccine, but it's not injected.
Kind of a vaccine, yes. Well, essentially it is a vaccine, yes, but it's not injected. It's under the tongue. Now, the advantage of it being under the tongue is it doesn't go to the liver. It bypasses the liver and goes straight into the bloodstream.
Oh.
Anything that you swallow goes into the stomach, goes to the liver, and the liver acts on that and can break it down or can turn it into something else. But if you take it under the tongue, it goes straight into the bloodstream. So that's the idea in this sublingual vaccine.
Why would you not inject it?
Well, because you've got to take it daily to get an effect. So this is it's more like a drug. So this is a daily sublingual vaccine that they've trialed. Now, word of warning, the trials have been funded by the drug company.
Yeah.
So drug company trials tend to find positive results. However, so there's been one trial, a randomized trial, which showed that they reduce the rate of infections by about a half compared to placebo. So 25% of women were not getting repeat infections compared to 56% in the placebo group. And then there's now a conference abstract suggesting they've taken this further and followed people through for many years looking at safety and effectiveness. And it does look, again, we've not seen any detail on the research from this abstract, that it may well be safe and effective. But they're smallish studies and they are sponsored by the drug company or the company that produces the vaccine. But if it works, a boon for women and you're not getting antibiotic resistance.
So another question that we get a lot through our other podcast, What's That Rash? And just anecdotally is whether there's like an ideal time of day to exercise. And a new study has just come out showing that maybe there is.
Yeah, so this is a study of people with heart disease, vascular disease, in other words, arterial disease, obesity and type 2 diabetes, and finding that the mortality reduction of exercise was greatest when they took exercise in the evening. And there wasn't really a good explanation of that. So there was a mortality benefit. In other words, taking exercise was good for you no matter when you did it, a bit better in the evening. As you say, we're getting questions about this all the time, particularly for What's That Rash? And I've been looking at this and there's mixed evidence about time of day and exercise in normal, healthy people. And for example, they've looked at growth hormone, which helps build up your body. No difference in growth hormone, as far as I can see, in terms of time of day. Cortisol, which is a measure of, if you like, physical stress from exercise, not a bad thing. It's greatest in the morning, suggesting you're putting your body under more metabolic stress in the morning. And that's actually one of the reasons you exercise is to put your body under metabolic stress.
Because that's a good one.
Good thing. But lactic acid, which is what you produce with anaerobic exercise when you're doing muscle strengthening, and the ability to take up oxygen in your lungs, which is a measure of fitness, no difference with time of day. So bottom line here, just take your exercise when it suits you.
Right, because I'm a morning exerciser in general. I'm not going to die earlier because I haven't exercised at night.
No, you're not. Better doing your exercise at the time of day that suits you, because that's the time of day that you're going to do the exercise.